We serve an awesome God. It's a privilege each time that I stand before the saints to share the word of God. I do not take that lightly at all. And because it is so, I want you to know that it's a privilege for you to hear the word of God. Not many hear the word of God. There are many that go to church, but not many hear the word of God. Some hear messages on psychiatry and psychology. They hear 10 steps to this and 7 steps to that and 2 steps to this and on. And they're all good. There's nothing wrong about that. But the fact is, messages on self-help, a better you, it's not the message that gets you where God wants you. There's got to be less of me and more of Him. Yes. Amen? That's what I want to know about. How do I become less and He becomes more? Because when push turns to shove, there is nothing, not a thing, that you have to offer that can save you. Nothing. It takes a God who is bigger than everything to save you. Because God can save you when there's something and when there's nothing. You didn't hear what I said yet. God doesn't need anything to save you. He Himself is salvation. Hallelujah. He Himself is salvation. And He cannot be broken down. Amen. Glory be to God. It is something that we need to be so aware of as God's people. That we serve an extraordinary God. A God that is not definable by finite minds. Or even with infinite minds, He's totally undefinable. There is nothing that can stop Him. And child of God, you and I need to switch to that particular dimension of recognizing a God that cannot be limited. It is hard for us to do, because when you start talking about the capacity and the ability of God, even with your finite thinking, you start talking crazy. Because what you talk about does not make any sense to the natural mind. It doesn't make any sense at all. And what I'm going to talk to you about today might not make any sense to you in your natural mind, but nonetheless, it's still the truth of God. Amen? And I need to get away from my own natural wisdom and knowledge and plug into His and let Him carry me. Praise God. What I need is for God to carry me. You know, I am in that group now that says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. because some things are too much. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There is nothing that you are facing today that is not solvable. Hallelujah. Please hear what I'm saying to you. There's not a situation that isn't solvable. Yeah, the Bible says money answereth all things. But there are times when you don't have it. And you've got to have the God who answereth all things. I'm thinking about a vehicle I had many years ago. It was an Eagle Premier. It was Mama's car, actually. That was the first vehicle we bought. And that we found out how expensive things can be. You know, when you're driving a cheap car, you can buy cheap stuff and it will fit. Until one time, our wiper didn't work. And we went to fix the wiper, and the bill was in the hundreds, like $800 just to fix the wiper, the motor. I said, hey, where can I send this car to? Who wants to take this one? So when the transmission went, I knew we were in trouble. Ha! Transmission. Transmission to fix this car was close to $7,000. God, what do we do? Lay hands on the sick. Lay hands on the sick. I said, the car is sick. Hallelujah. It needs healing. So we laid hands on that vehicle. Rambaba shatata labarakata. Transmission got fixed, whether it liked it or not. By the authority of the word of God, I've seen at least 3 transmissions of vehicles fixed. Now, I did not know how to do anything then, neither did I have the money to fix it. But I had a God who knew how to fix whatever was broken. I told you I was going to talk to you about things that don't make sense in the natural. You look at me, looking at me funny. My brother here showed up today. Good to see you, Terry. I was in this church preaching one evening, and I said, Van, come to me now. Just preaching. Then I continued the message. I didn't know what I said, why I said it, but I just said it. The next day I saw him. He showed up at my house with a key. Handed me a key to a caravan van. The van came. You know, what I didn't say I should have said is, I need new van, come to me. But I didn't say that. So I got a van. The van came. Hallelujah. And driving it, and I needed it. Because my sister was coming, and I needed a van. I had some little dingy little car. I needed a van. And she came, I think, the next week or something like that. And the van was able to handle all of us, take her big bags. And she used to shop. She used to shop with $1,000 bills. They don't make those bills anymore, $1,000 bills. And she just shells it out like this and fills big bags hockey bags with all kinds of, we used to, Mama and I went to Montreal and they shopped and shopped and shopped and shopped, and she would just go and just grab like this. Look at me, I'm the preacher. My sister is busy grabbing and grabbing and grabbing and grabbing, and I said, Lord God Almighty, something's wrong here. But God is our provider. Amen? He's faithful. All the time. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter whether you had that or didn't have. God was still the same God. Hello? Still the same God. So, Pastor, what are you trying to say to us this morning? I'm saying, don't let your natural senses block you from your supernatural sense. Because we want to define everything based on what we know by experience. God defines nothing based on experience. God determines his experience. God determines his experience. Let me say it the third time. God determines his experience. God's not going to experience anything. He says, and it is. And God wants to move your eye to that realm of the Holy Spirit, where we don't allow natural things to define us or to determine what we're going to accomplish or what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, none of that. Are you listening?
Yes.
So that van, that caravan, again, transmission. One day I came to drive this vehicle and it won't shift. Goes from 1 to 2 and gets stuck. So I'm driving. Woo! I said, what is wrong with this thing? So I go to Seven Oaks Transmission on MacPhillips. Take it in. The guy says, your transmission is shot. I'm with my daughter, Ashley. I said, the transmission is shot. He said, yes, you need a new transmission. I didn't even want to ask him about how much, because I know they're going to quote me some crazy amount that I don't have. I said, drain the oil. Why? I said, drain the oil and put new oil. He said, that's not going to fix it. I said, just do it. And the guy says, okay, I will do it for free. So he drains the oil, as much of the oil he can drain out of the transmission, drains it, pours new oil. I start my car, the car that won't move. I start the car, back up, and drove away. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory be. I drove away, and that car, the transmission got fixed. It was an oil change. We had a washing machine. Died, the motor seized. Didn't have any money. I said, what am I going to do? The Lord says, call the guys that fix it. I said, I don't have any money. He said, call them anyway. I said, Lord, you are asking me to call the people that fix the thing. I don't have any money. How am I going to pay? Just call them. So I called. And the guy comes, opens up the washing machine, and says, your motor is burnt. And it seized. This is a new part. Fortunate I have it. I'm going to put it inside. I'm thinking, this guy is going to put a new motor inside the washing machine. I don't have money to pay. Lord, what do I do? He says, take that mortar that he sees. So I grabbed the mortar that he sees. And I said, is this what it's supposed to do? Thing is moving. The guy looks at me and says, give me that. What did you do? I said, put my old one inside. Take yours out. So the guy put my new one and he says, well, because I came here, I have to charge you something. I happen to have just the amount to give to him. That washing machine kept on running and running until we moved out of that house. Somebody listening yet?
Yes.
I can go on and 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 tell you one story after the other. And 20 years from now, I'll tell you the exact same story. You know why? Because it is the truth. I don't have to remember the lie. When you tell a lie, you have to remember what lie you told. But when is the truth? 20 years from now, you will tell the same thing. Because you lived it. Hallelujah. You lived it. I'm saying God is God. He can provide you the money and he solves your problem. Or he can do it supernaturally. The problem is, I need a problem solved. Money or no money, problem solved, it's problem solved. Do you have a problem that needs a solution? Who told you that there's only one way of solving the problem? God has trillion, zillion ways of solving the same problem. We had a roof up here. Now it's a different roof. Al was reminding me about it recently. And we needed some gallons of this fiber stuff, kind of a paint that has fiber in it, to paint through it. We had about 20 containers that Bra Paul over there found at Buron Lumber. And I went and I bought what Buron Lumber had. We needed about 100 plus to do the work. We had 20 something gallons. Are you still with me? Did we finish? Absolutely. The 20 gallons became 100 plus gallons. Yeah. Hallelujah. And we stopped at just the edge, and my brother, smart Alec Bro, was over there. He said, well, it was because of the weather. It was, that's why. I said, really? We had this bunch, and we had 1 gallon. That 1 gallon is supposed to do about from here to where Bra West is to about there. And we had a big section like that to take care of, right across. What did God do? Hot weather, not cool weather, hot weather, God still did all of it. Because he is God. If he can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 hungry men and have 12 baskets left over. Eh? What is the limitation that you and I have embraced rather than the bigness of God, who knows no limits? God was trying to show to us that He is faithful all the time. I had a situation right in front of the church. And all this, since I'm talking to you, there are storms in my life, storms that have happened around. I had a situation in front of the church, in the basement, I needed to fix. God, I need this thing fixed. Where's the money going to come from? Don't worry about it. Okay? Don't worry about it. So, the city decides to fix this street. And they came and they drove right into the area and busted the sidewalk right into the basement. And guess who had to fix it now? City had to fix it. Hello? Problem solved. How God solves it, it's none of my business. Let Him solve what He got to solve. He knows how to fix it. Problem solved. So you got a problem, and you think, how am I going to get out of this one? And God says, why are you getting gray and wrinkled about this? Mind your business, let me mind my business. Ask and you shall what? Receive. Seek and you shall what? Find. Knock and the door shall be what? Open. So where is the worrying, and why do you and I worry so much? Worry, worry until our hair starts falling off. Worry, 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 and you have high blood pressure. Worry, 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 worry. Now you have to color your hair every day. What are you worrying about? What are you fretting about? What are you so concerned about? What is it that so occupied your mind that you've pushed God out because you've given room for worry? COVID, Corona, China disease, whatever it is you call it, depending on where you come from. If you're Trump, you say it's China disease. It came, and everybody, oh, we're going to die now, we're going to die. One day, put on mask. Another day, don't put mask on. One day, only old people die from it. Young people are immune from it. Now, young people are dying. You go throughout this situation, and you can live in a world of fear until you generate another disease. You know, there are people who are going to be so deeply rooted in their fear until they're going to wash their hands and it starts bleeding. It's a different disease. Fear. You'll be there. They said, 20 seconds, you're there. 2 hours later, still washing some invisible thing off. And then, oh, what did I touch? Oh, and you're back. Fear. Fear. I'm not saying don't address hygienic issues. I'm saying, what are you so afraid of? Everybody wants to go to heaven. But nobody wants to die. Praise the Lord. Lord, if they are. And then. Put the mask on. And then they say, oh, the mask is going to be bad for you because you're going to be adjusting it. You're going to be putting, should my hand be up or should it be down? Maybe I should put it in my pocket all day. Fear. Fear. Fear because we don't believe that there is a God who can keep us. There are some things more dangerous than the issues, the bacteria and the germs and viruses. You know, if I just bring a microscope and just look at your cell phone, you won't touch that cell phone. You won't touch it. If I bring a device and just look at your bed, you will not sleep on that bed. There are so many creatures crawling around. Creepy stuff. It's, ah. Fear can reduce you to a blob of nothingness. What are you so attached to that's kept you in bondage? I don't have this. Do you have God? Then you have what you need. Who's going to protect me? Do you have God? Then you got the protection you need. He's your protector. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's everything you need. The challenges that you and I face are just another opportunity for us to experience God in a greater way. A testimony. I'm challenged. Wow. My test is going to become a testimony. If I didn't have those transmission problems, I would not come here and testify about it. It's a good thing to have money, have the cash at hand. It's a good thing. But it's not a bad thing either if you didn't have it. If you know you have God. Both can testify. Oh, I had this need show up. Thank God I had the money and I paid for it cash. Oh, glory be to God. I used to remember those days when I didn't have it. But now I paid cash for it. MasterCard didn't show up. Visa didn't show up. American Express didn't. Discovery. No, no. I had God. And when I had God, I had Discovery. When I had God, I had MasterCard. When I had God, I had Visa to go from here to there. We can both testify. Hallelujah. Everyone here has a testimony. It just depends on whether you are going to embrace God and recognize that God is my provider. Cash or no cash. Listen, I don't know. If I'm going to be here when the Antichrist is here. Neither do you. But I do know the Word of God says that when the Antichrist is here, that you're not going to be able to buy or sell without taking a mark. Now, that's when we're going to find out how real your faith is. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whether you can believe God that He can still provide for you, grant you hydro. When the hydro man says, I cut off your light. Like this in California, he said, those people that are having a party, cut off the light. After they cut it off and the light is still shining and they look at the meter is not moving, but there's light inside their house. You say, hey, my God is light. And I am light. And where the light is, darkness cannot be. So since I'm here, there's got to be light. There's so much energy and power in God and in you that thing stays on. Famine. The widow has oil and she has flour, just enough for her and the son to eat, and that will be it. And years later, because she connected with God, flour pot remains. Oil remains. Huh? What? How is that possible? How is it possible? God. And that's not just in Bible days. That's for today. Amen? It's for today. God is your provider. Paul appealed to Caesar. And in Acts chapter 28, the Bible tells us about how they landed in an island that wasn't known to them called Melita. Acts chapter 28. Melita means honey. Before they landed there in this island called Melita, they had gone through a major storm. One problem after the other, after the other, after the other. Tossed to and fro until they thought they were going to die. But the Bible says, just at the time when they were at the end of their rope, an angel of the Lord showed up and told Paul, it's going to be okay. You're not going to lose anybody that's in this ship with you. Everybody's going to be safe. So Paul woke up in the morning and told them all, says, it's going to be fine. It's going to be okay. An angel of the Lord, my God, whom I serve, stood by me today and told me we're all going to be okay. So grab some food and eat. What? For 14 days they've been fasting, forced fast, because they couldn't keep anything. Are you going to eat anything when what you put inside your mouth comes out? And the whole ship is messed up. People throwing up. You're going to tell us that things are going to be okay and the storm is still on? Yeah, it's going to be okay. How do you know this? God spoke to me. It's going to be fine. You know, the amazing thing is in chapter 27, verse 1, this is what I want you to see here. Chapter 27 and verse 1. I'm going to read down a little bit. It says this. It says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, to, and entered into a ship called Adramyttium." Adramyttium. Know what that word means? Adramyttium. The place where death abides. That's the boat that they got in. How do you name a boat the place that death abides? So that's the ship they got in and started their journey. And it was exactly like that name. Death was abiding them. And we're going from one crisis to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other, until they finally get to Melita. Cutting a long story short. And they get to Melita. The Bible says, Paul, the people of Melita received them, the barbarians, the Bible says in chapter 28. They received them and honored them. Cared for them. And Paul begins to help and he gathers some wood to put it on the fire. Let's see, verse 2 and 3. It says, "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the what? On the fire, there came a what? A viper out of the fire." Yeah? It came out of the fire. Out of the heat. How does, whether it's fire or heat, how does a snake come out of that? It is demonic. And fastened on his hand. He didn't fasten himself on anybody else's hands, just on him. But God had a setup going on. So Paul is scared and he runs around. Oh! Is that what he did? No. The Bible says, "And when the barbarians saw the venomous," verse 3, don't go too far, verse 3, 28:3. He fastened on his hand. And watch this now. Verse 4. "When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said amongst themselves," this is what they said, "no doubt this man is a what? A murderer." Was he once a murderer? Yes, he was. So what's the devil trying to do? Listen, are you with me?
Yes.
What the devil is trying to do is attach him to his past. He is no longer now a murderer. He used to be. And now they are attaching that to him. And they said, "Whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." Yet vengeance Now vengeance becomes God. Vengeance won't allow him to live. That's their confession. What is Paul's? Verse 5. While they are busy accusing him and trying to pull him into the past, he just goes. He shook off, and notice the word the Bible uses there. He doesn't use the word viper. He uses the word beast. The spirit of the enemy is the spirit of the beast. It is Antichrist. Whatever brings you and attaches you to your past is Antichrist. Whatever tries to bring you a solution other than God's solution is anti, because it is trying to duplicate whatever God is going to do. And you must take that power away from the enemy. How do you do it? Are you listening? First and foremost, don't make every solution in your life a money solution. Say that again. Don't make every solution in your life a money solution. If you need a car, your first solution is not how much money do I have. Listen, even if you have all the money to go buy it, that must not be your first reference point. Your first reference point is, God, this is the need. What do you want to do? And if God says, we've got the money, spend the money. If God doesn't say spend the money, don't spend the money. Because this might be another opportunity for a miracle. That can be provided some other way. Don't always go to that which is normative and think this is the way it's going to happen. It may not happen that way. That's why you can have a need and God can ask you to give the money to satisfy that need to somebody else. Hello? Say, hey, but God, I need that money. No, give it to that person. But God, I don't you understand? God, listen real good. I need the money for this problem. No, I want you to give it to that person. So how my problem going to get solved? God. He shook off the beast. Instead of attaching himself to the accusation, he shook off that beast, that lying spirit that wants to attach him to his past, and shook it into the fire and felt no harm. He felt no what? Harm. He felt what? You know why it says he felt no harm? Because that snake, I'm sure, was busy trying to bite him. He could see the marks, but he felt no harm. What would cause him to feel harm? Fear. Oh, snake! And he just jostled it into the fire. And look at this, I like this. Verse 6. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen. Know why they look in? Because that thing bit him. They're looking and falling down dead suddenly because they know this snake. They know this snake. If this thing attaches itself to you, you are done. They waited, just like your enemies are about to wait for a long time. They're going to wait and wait. They think you're going to die, but you're not dying. They're waiting. You're going to go bankrupt, but you're not. They're waiting. You're going to lose your business. You're not. You're going to lose your job. You're not. Because that's not what God said. I declared over you no unemployment here. The devil's a liar. It doesn't matter what's happening out there. That's not your portion. The snake left everybody else and attaches itself to Paul. Oh, you must be a bad guy. That's why this bad thing is happening to you. Because they said it does not mean you need to buy it. You're wasting my time. Shake it off. They waited. After they had looked a while. Is that what it said? A while. Oh, a great while. That means they were waiting for a long time. Not just for 5 minutes. Like they were watching him. Okay. 5 minutes, he's not dead. 10 minutes, 20, 30 minutes. What's going on here? An hour. 2 hours. The guy is still not dead. He's not dropping dead. He's not swelling. Let me see that hand again. Let me see that hand. Can you feel any pain? No. Are you sure? No. Hey, let's check his temperature. Check all you want. I am not going to die. Glory be to God. The devil's a liar. I shook my cufflink off. It's a nice one. Hallelujah. The man didn't die. So, watch this. And saw no harm come to him. They what? Shout it out. They changed their mind. That's what is going to happen now. People are going to begin to change their minds. I said they are going to change their minds. I said they are going to change their minds. They used to think you're going to lose out, but they're going to change their minds and say, he is the victor, not the victim. Somebody shout hallelujah. They changed their minds and said he was a what? They said, oh man, this guy is a god. Well, that's exactly what they're going to say about you. Yes. Why? Because you created in the image and the likeness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to break the English right here and say, you are not deadable. Glory be to God. It's a new word. Not deadable. The man won't die. So they said, he was a god. Wow. Look at the next thing that happened. In the same quarters, that means in the same place that they were saying he's a murderer, the same place where they were saying he's going to die, he's going to swell up and die, in the same quarters where what? possessions. In the place of your crisis, there are possessions. Is somebody listening? In the same place where they said you are going to fail, that's where you're going to make it. In the same place where they say you're going to die, that's where you're going to live. You are going to be a testimony. In the place where they said you are nobody, you are going to be the somebody, the talk of town, in the mighty name of Jesus. Devil's a liar. There were possessions of the chief man of the island. He didn't go for the lower class. The chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, that is public, popular. The popular one is the one that always gets the possessions. Who received us? Now, he now received them and lodged us 3 days courteously. Philanthropos, in a friendly, kind way, they lodged 3 days. Glory be to God. Watch the next statement. It says, and it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux. That word, bloody flux, is the same word for dysentery. So he had a bad case of dysentery. Amen? To whom Paul entered in and prayed, laid his hands on him, and healed him. Aomai. Healed him. That's instantaneous healing. You see, there are 8 words for healing in the Greek. The slowest form of healing is the word therapeo, from where we get the word therapeutics. Aomai is the fastest form. That's the kind of healing that takes place instantaneously. Incidentally, when you read in the New Testament, when we hear about Jesus healing the sick, most of these healings that he did were therapeo. No, therapeo. That's why he said to the centurion servant who wanted him, he said, I'm going to come and therapeo him. And the man says, we're not going to do therapeo here. I need my servant like now. I omai him. He'll just speak the word and he's going to get healed right now. I'm a man under authority. And I know you're a man under authority. Just speak the word and my servant will be omai. He upgraded it. Amen? You're going to get an upgrade today in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Paul omai him, healed him. And when they saw it instantly, the Bible says in verse 9, watch this. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were what?
Healed.
They came and they were healed. God's power began to flow mightily. And the net result is that the people began to bring possessions. And he came out different. They had lost everything in the sea, dumped everything. All empty. They landed there without anything. But when he left loaded. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Corona came, but I tell you what, you are living loaded. Glory be to God. You're going to come out of this mess, out of this storm, greater than you are this day. We all, as God's people, are going to come forth greater. That is the divine word of the Lord. Do you receive that? Do you receive it? Let me leave that alone and wrap up. Come with me to Psalm 46. Because I want to just put this down solid in your spirit. Word of God says in Psalm 46 verse 1, it says, God is our what? Refuge, our shelter, our protector. He is our strength and a very present help in trouble. In other words, God is not going to take off on you when trouble comes. Hallelujah. God is not going to be like sometimes, you know, thank God for our cops, they're good. But the thing is, sometimes you can call the cops and they won't show up till the next day and say, what happened? And they start taking records. I don't need you taking any records now. You should have been here. When I called right away, you should have been here. I'm a human being. Do they have guns? do they have any weapons? Yeah, they have weapons. Okay. All right, we'll be there as soon as we can. Show up when the weapons are gone. I'm not saying that all cops do that. I'm not saying that. But there are people that do that. They won't show up. But God is a present help in trouble. When you are in trouble, God is there. It's not going to take off. Amen? Verse 2. Watch this. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Though the earth be removed. Think about that for a moment. Though the earth be removed. The reason I'm able to walk here is because I'm walking on earth. There is something here solid. Now, when this is what is solid, land, water, everything is removed, and there is nothing. The psalmist says, I'm not going to be afraid. Why are you not going to be afraid when there's no structure to hold you? When there's no banking system to hold you, when there's no hospital to hold you, when there's no house to hold you, when there is nothing to hold you, why aren't you going to be afraid? Well, because the Lord is my refuge. He's my fortress. The righteous run into him and are safe. Are you going to do that? You need to do that before trouble comes, because he is only refuge and strength to those that connect with him. Look at it again, verse 1. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is our what? Refuge. So you be in there, in that refuge. Be in that one, so that when everything falls off, you are still solid like a rock. He's your rock. Amen? When there's nothing else, he's still the rock. Are you hearing? When everything else fails, God will not fail. Do you receive that word? Then shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then shout hallelujah like you mean it.
Hallelujah.
Storms do come, but God is greater than any storm. And he's still doing the same thing he did before. For he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's not changed.